quite a horse, Albert. But for now, his place is with the army.
I, Albert Narracott, do solemnly swear that we shall be together again.
Phoebe, arise, a gleam in her eyes, and the years are drowned again. And like Barleycorn, who rose from the grave, new year will rise up again.
We'll need Kleenex for Richard. He's in floods of tears here. You went to see it the other evening, so why are we talking about it today? What's it got to do with the wildlife programme, Richard?
Well, I haven't managed to get it out of my system since Wednesday night. And you know, the therapists say you have to have a cathartic revisitation of the trauma. So I'm having it today. I'm trying to get it out of my system.
It was a trauma for you, wasn't it?
Well, it was a wonderful... It was a Kleenex-y thing, yes. It was a wonderful performance on all levels. An excellent piece of theatre, works very well in theatre, but it is a most extraordinary virtuoso display of puppetry. Three men inside in an artificial horse mimicking several such horses on stage at times, and they're mimicking the gestures and movements of horses, their breathing, the movements of the ears, the little twits. They look so perfect to me. I'm not a horse person, but I'm sure they
but
look...
But you know animals.
And when they make a bow at the end of the thing, the horses come out and they bow, and you're clapping not the people inside them. The horses have come alive. They are real person. They're real spiritual.
Give us a bit of a background to it, would you please?
Well, the background to it, if you go back to the First World War, it's about the time of the First World War, about 8 million horses were killed in the First World War. Around 10 million soldiers died. I suppose it's wrong for me to compare the two, because the human tragedy was so outweighed the horse tragedy. But let's not forget the horse tragedy. And something like 1 million English horses and Scottish horses and Welsh horses were taken across the Channel to France. Irish horses were not requisitioned because of the sensitive conditions in Ireland. It was felt that if they tried to take horses from Ireland, there might be political implications. So in a funny kind of way, the First World War saved the bacon of the Irish horses. But of the million that went across, a mere 62,000 to 65,000 survived that. This production is a celebration of horses and the sacrifice horses have made. They are our original war companions. They are a weapon. Right back, you take the Battle of Balaclava, 1854, 600 men in a mix-up over orders, launched themselves at the Russian cannons. They drove straight into the cannons. At the end of that charge, 119 or something men still had horses. The rest had all died. The most poignant one for me is always the Spanish Armada.
Why?
Well, 120 ships sailed up from Spain. Now, can you imagine what a poor old horse in one of those old galleons, what life must have been like, how awful it must have been. And after all those days, it took 3.5 days just to get to Britain. And then there was the firefight with the British Navy. And then the ships were all divided, separated. The weather was deteriorating and they had to flee up the east coast of England, up into the North Sea. Now, there were two problems. They were running out of water. They couldn't land, replenish their store, and they had run out of gunpowder in the fight. So they had all these horses and mules, and they were simply flung into the sea to drown. And it's an awful spectacle. And some of the English sailors described seeing a sea with horses swimming futilely and mules swimming futilely in that sea. So it's another image of the awful abuse of horses in wars by us. It's not all terrible. There, one story, it seems to me, that should be filmed concerns a horse that was captured at the Battle of Buda, which was a way back, slightly before the Battle of the Boyne. There was an engagement between the British and the Holy Alliance and the Ottomans outside the city of Buda, of Budapest fame. And at that, a Captain Robert Byerley managed to capture a Turkish horse, which is known ever since as the Byerley horse. Now, that horse was taken back to England and it was taken with King William's army to the Battle of the Boyne. So the Byerley Turk actually fought. Well, he had a rider on him who fought at the Battle
of... Did he survive the horse and the rider?
Yes, that's the good part of the story. Like Joey in the play, he survived to become one of the great studs. All the modern race horses, I'm told by the horsey people, example, are descendants from three thoroughbreds, three Arabian thoroughbreds, one of whom is the Byerly, was the Byerly Turk. So that's at least a good story about horses of the past. And of course, this particular play, which is most poignant and tear-jerky. You know.
Yeah, you mentioned Joey because the horse featured in the play is Joey. That's Joey. The horse's name. But there's another character, and it's about a relationship a boy has with this particular horse. Isn't that what it's about?
Yes.
You've seen the movie, Ken, haven't you?
I have seen the movie, the movie was, I was just thinking as we were speaking there about the movie showed one particular aspect of this, which I thought was really very special. And that was the aspect that we imagine, you were mentioning thoroughbreds there, we imagine these beautiful cavalry horses, very sleek, and that every horse was like this. The horses were under conscription. They were like the men. And they had this huge mix of every sort of animal. And they managed in a matter of very short number of months to actually marshal these into an army of regimented horses. And that's very well shown in the film. And the film has a lot to do with the horse. I was very taken with it. I saw it by accident on a plane. I had intended to go and hadn't seen it. But like Richard, it stayed with me for weeks afterwards. It was just such a powerful story. And I felt the animal component of it was particularly well done and was particularly poignant in terms of the actual story itself.
There's one good thing about, from the horse's point of view, about the First World War, is it put an end to the great cavalry charge. The great, terrible weapon of prior to the First World War was the cavalry charge. A huge army of horses would come bearing down on you with the fellows with drawn swords and they would butcher you. You had an old musket and you'd only one shot. And if you didn't drop the fellow that was going to butcher you, you have had it.
And he was a moving target.
And he was a moving target and he was coming at it ferocious fast speed. And how do you stop a huge horse with one musket bullet? So this, in the First World War, they, the foolishness of the generals, they thought the cavalry charge would make sense. But of course, what happened, of course, there was a new kid on the block, the machine gun, and a second one, the barbed wire. And of course, when the horses bore down on the enemy, the machine guns opened up and mowed the unfortunate cavalry.
This
down.
Is all depicted in the movie. I presume they do the same thing on stage, do they?
They do.
Well, what's so pleasant about that?
Well, I'm not.
Did
so,
you enjoy it?
I didn't say it was pleasant. On the contrary, I said it was the most moving, almost a traumatic experience. But it is a wonderful tour de force experience, I must say. I've never seen a play quite like it. It works in so many. I didn't believe it would work. You know, fellas going out mimicking horses. Who would have thought of doing it? Can you imagine somebody saying, "I'm going to risk putting millions into this," and yet they do it, and they do it so well, you lose awareness that these aren't actually horses at all.
Well, it's appropriate that it's here this year. Yeah. I mean, the anniversary and all of that kind of stuff of the First World War. So it's under the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. You'd recommend it, would you, Richard?
I would recommend it highly. I'm not so sure. I was going to bring my 12-year-old grandchild, one of my grandchildren, to it. I think not. It might be a bit too, sad for very young children. It depends on the child, of course, but a sensitive child would be very upset. It's quite violent. It doesn't flinch on the nastiness of war. It's convincing that way. It is verging on sentimentality, but it isn't really. There's a realism about it. I would highly recommend it.
All right, good for you.